You are Locked On Timberwolves, your daily Minnesota Timberwolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. My name is Ben Beacon. I'm the host of Locked On Wolves. I'm also the co-editor of Dunking with Wolves, the Timberwolves site on the Fansided Network. Today's episode of Locked On Wolves is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to builtbar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You get 20% off your next order. Happy Monday, everybody. Happy Victory Monday. The Timberwolves won on Sunday evening. And I guess, you know, they lost Friday. So that's a 1-1 weekend. The Wolves snapped a 3-game losing streak and are back in the left-hand column. Finally, of course, they play again Monday night on the back-to-back home and home against the Cleveland Cavaliers in Cleveland. But today on the show, we'll talk pretty much exclusively about the Wolves win over the Cavs on Sunday. I don't think we need to look back at Friday's loss all too closely. So we'll focus the majority of the time today on the win over the Cavs from the weekend, from Sunday evening. That's key takeaways from the game, studs and duds, and a brief look ahead at the week upcoming. So that'll be today's show. Before we get into everything, though, a quick reminder as always, you can subscribe to the show anywhere you get podcasts. You can also follow on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. All right, so Timberwolves beat the Cavs on Sunday night by 5 points, 109 to 104. The Wolves had lost three straight, including just last Friday night. They were beat easily by the Sixers. It was a 24-point loss to Philadelphia at home on Friday. But this time out, the Wolves beat the Cavs, and it was a relatively healthy Cavs team. Of course, they're still without Kevin Love, but other than that, this is a Cavs team that came into the game healthy. It's not like this was a completely depleted team. They were 9-10 coming into the game. They were actually just at 9-9 before a weekend loss to the Knicks. So this is a team that's surprised with a, you know, 500-ish record. They started the year 3-0. They've beaten a lot of fringy playoff teams. I mean, they've beaten Philadelphia once this year. They beat the Nets twice. Of course, the Nets are a little bit of a mess right now. Still nice wins, but other than that, you know, they beat Detroit, they've beaten the Knicks. They've beaten Detroit a couple of times, actually, Charlotte. So it's still probably not a very good Cavs team. It's not likely to be a playoff team in the East. They're probably still a bottom five team in the league. Although you have to, I mean, consider they came to this game 9-10 and Kevin Love's played in two games. So still a solid win for the Timberwolves. Of course, the Wolves still without Karl-Anthony Towns, still without Juancho Hernan Gomez. Jarrett Culver's out with a sprained ankle and he'll be out for at least another week, it sounds like. And Naz Reid was questionable coming into the game, did not play with the wrist injury. So the Wolves, again, had just one true center available, and that was Ed Davis. That's an issue when you're going up against Andre Drummond and, you know, I mean, Jared Allen off the bench, Larry Nance Jr. This is a pretty good front court for the Cavs. And Drummond ate in this game. Drummond actually really dominated the paint. He had 25 points, 22 rebounds in this game. And I'll go through the first half, some, I guess, key points from the first half here in a second. But at halftime, Drummond, there was a moment late in the second quarter where Drummond had more rebounds than the entire Timberwolves team. And it really didn't seem like this game was headed in a good direction. But thankfully, they were able to pull things together in the second half. So the Wolves got off to a pretty good start. But again, Drummond got whatever he wanted in the paint. Ed Davis couldn't really slow him down. Ed Davis is a pretty big guy, but he did not look like a big guy next to Andre Drummond. And knowing that the Wolves didn't have anybody else over 6'8 that was going to play in this game, I mean, Jared Vanderbilt was the de facto backup center and did an admirable job, but didn't have a prayer of slowing down Andre Drummond. And Ed Davis didn't do a great job with it either. He actually had a decent game, ultimately fouled out, but 25 and 22 for Drummond. He had a double-double in the first half. So the Wolves were down five coming out of the first quarter. They played a pretty good second quarter. Josh Okogie really struggled to guard Colin Sexton. And ultimately, I mean, Sexton had 16 points and 8 of 16 shooting. It seemed like it was going to be a lot more. The Wolves stuck Okogie and Sexton early in the game. And by halftime, Sexton had 12 of the 16 points he ended up scoring for the game. So Josh did a much better job in the second half, as did the Wolves as a whole defensively. Sexton ended up for the game with 5 turnovers to just 2 assists. But early in the game, Okogie struggled to guard Sexton. Sexton really just got whatever he wanted with the Wolves playing drop coverage in the pick and roll as they almost always do. And Sexton got to where he wanted. He scored in the mid-range. He got into the paint. And the first half was all about Colin Sexton and Andre Drummond. The Cavs, after having a 5-point lead after the first quarter, extended it to six by halftime. The bright spot of the first half for the Timberwolves was the bench unit in the second quarter, led by Ricky Rubio. He had a really good game this time around. Jake Layman had his best game of the season, pretty clearly his best game of the season. Jalen Noel had a very good game, especially a solid second quarter. And the second unit was just very good all the way around, much outplayed the Wolves' first unit in the first half. It was a little bit more balanced as the game wore on. But in the first half, the reserves were better than the starters for the Wolves. Minnesota was down six at halftime. The third quarter was all about the Malik Beasley and Anthony Edwards for the Timberwolves. Beasley had a quick 5-0 run by himself coming out of halftime, and then Edwards took over. And I want to talk more about his game here in a little bit. The Wolves won the third quarter by 8 points and went into the fourth with a 2-point lead. The bench unit was great to start the fourth, and then the Wolves ran with Rubio and D'Angelo Russell in the backcourt together for a stretch in the middle of the fourth quarter. It actually worked out okay, which was not the case the last time the Wolves tried that, when both players were healthy and available, which was, I think, a little over a week ago against Atlanta. Ed Davis fouled out towards the end. The Wolves took Rubio off the court and went with a more traditional backcourt of D'Lo and Malik Beasley. The Wolves built a 10-point lead, and then towards the end, they just couldn't score. The Cavs cut it down to just 3 points, but the Wolves were able to get a clear path foul on the Cavs, and Rubio knocked down a pair of free throws. The Wolves ended up winning by five, but it got a little dicier than it should have in the final minute, which I guess if you've watched Timberwolves games ever, not even just this year, that wasn't a surprise at all. So next, what I want to do is I want to talk about the key takeaways from this game. I want to look at the starting lineup with both Anthony Edwards and Malik Beasley. We've seen that now twice, both on Friday and on Sunday. I want to talk about the, this is a little bit of roster construction as much as it is reaction to the game, but Jared Vanderbilt as a backup center can work in stretches. It's not going to work against a team like the Cavs. And obviously that's not Ryan Saunders' fault. The Wolves just didn't have any other big men in this game, and that was an issue, and it almost was their downfall. And then the Ricky Rubio, Jalen Noel backcourt off the bench is fun too. So I want to talk about all those things next before we get to studs and duds. First though, let's talk about 1010. This episode is brought to you by 1010. Now, you may have read about this in the New York Times, in Style Magazine, or Forbes, and we're excited to tell you about it. 1010 is an exclusive collection of 10 one-of-a-kind engagement rings designed by 10 of the most distinctive designers working today. Using only diamonds responsibly sourced from Botswana, 10 design masters have each produced a uniquely beautiful commitment ring. They're available now exclusively at BlueNile.com, and when they're gone, they're gone. We all know that the diamond engagement ring is iconic. It's a timeless expression of the deepest commitment between two people. And with 1010, it's been beautifully re-envisioned in the hands of 10 modern designers working exclusively with sustainably sourced diamonds. If you're ready to mark a special commitment or looking for a unique and meaningful way to celebrate Valentine's Day, you're definitely going to want to check this out. Again, this exciting limited edition collection of diamond engagement rings is now available exclusively at BlueNile.com. Of course, Locked On Wolves covers everything you need to know about the Minnesota Timberwolves, but what about the rest of sports? Now, the Locked On Podcast Network has you covered there as well with Locked On Today. It's hosted by the fantastic Peter Bukowski. It's all the sports news you need every morning in under 20 minutes. Subscribe to the Locked On Today podcast wherever you like to listen to podcasts. All right, let's talk about high points from the game. Just some key takeaways that I had. First of all, the starting lineup of Anthony Edwards and Malik Beasley. Edwards had never started in his career until the Friday game against the Sixers. He was fine on Friday, certainly better than he had been. He's had a couple of decent games here, going all the way back 2+ weeks to the Spurs game when Anthony Edwards had the brain cramp at the end of the game, down three with a few seconds left. He turned the ball over. He was like 2 for 15 over his next two or three games. Then he's progressively played a little bit better over the past week or so, I guess really since last weekend. The two games in Golden State, he played fairly well against James Wiseman. Friday against Philadelphia, in the starting lineup for the first time in his career, had 15 points on 5 of 13 shooting, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, which was nice for him. He hasn't done a ton of rebounding or assisting of late, only had the one turnover, and had a fine game. This time around, you could make the argument that this was the best game of Anthony Edwards, of course, still painfully young career, but he had a really strong performance in the starting lineup for the Wolves. And I'll talk more about him specifically in the studs and duds segment, but he had 23 points on 9 of 15 shooting. He made 4 threes on 7 tries. And I think 3 of the 4 makes were catch and shoot threes where he had plenty of space to kind of step into his three-point attempt. They weren't coming in the half court when he was pounding the ball into the floor and then just kind of rising and firing flat-footed. These were in the rhythm shots, or in rhythm shots, I should say. Malik Beasley, obviously that's his best mode of scoring is catch and shoot threes. It's threes in transition off the bounce. But he was effective in multiple phases in this game as well. And together it's really interesting. I mean, Beasley's more of your, I wouldn't even call him really a finesse player, and he's not doing a ton of it off the dribble anyway, but he's catching and shooting lightning quick. He's not operating a ton in the pick and roll. And if he is, he's making decisions and going fast. He's not ball handling on the perimeter, playmaking, like, you know, lingering outside the arc with the ball like Edwards is. Beasley's taking it and going, whether it's shooting a three, it's getting to the rim, it's cutting, it's scoring in transition. All those things are Malik Beasley. It's finesse. It's happening fast. Anthony Edwards is a little bit more methodical, a little bit more deliberate, but then when he makes a decision, it's brute force. He can bowl people over on his way to the rim. He can finish through contact. He still only attempted one free throw in this game, despite attempting, eight shots inside the arc and 15 total shot attempts, only one free throw attempt for Anthony Edwards. He's going to start getting some more foul calls if he's consistently effective on offense and I guess earns the respect of the officials. But I mean, it's this interesting kind of different approaches, and they had very similar lines in this game. They both had 23 points. They both made 9 shots from the field. Beasley made 5 threes. Edwards made 4. To combined, they only attempted 3 free throws. They each did just a little bit in the rebound, assist, steal, block columns. Very similar games, but they got their numbers in very different ways. And I think playing the two of them together is really fascinating. And also playing with them with D'Angelo Russell is a really interesting dynamic as well, because of course, D'Lo is much more, he's certainly a different player than both Beasley and Edwards, but he's more parts Beasley than Edwards. He doesn't really want to get into the paint. He loves the mid-range game, and, you know, as does Beasley, but also would just rather just, you know, fire threes. And Russell also made 5 threes in this game. He also, you know, he was 7 of 18 total from the field, which is not quite as efficient as Beasley or Edwards, but also, you know, still effective. And he's primarily the one initiating the offense and getting Beasley and Edwards involved. Somehow having those three ball dominant players in the starting lineup together worked really well. I don't want to get ahead of myself thinking about what this could look like with Towns in the starting lineup. Obviously, Ed Davis and Josh Okogie are very low usage players who aren't going to take any possessions away from Russell, Beasley, or Edwards. I mean, they combined, Davis and Okogie did, to shoot 0 for 8 from the field in this game. But of course, they were both, interestingly enough, they both had positive plus minuses because they were effective defensively, rebounded their positions fairly well, you know, did what they needed to do with their assignments of Drummond in Davis's case and Sexton in Okogie's case. But all that to say, Russell, Beasley, and Edwards together combined scored enough for the starting unit. Okogie had 5 points all at the free throw line, and I believe all in the first quarter. And Davis didn't score at all, but that didn't really matter. The Wolves still scored 109 points because they got 23 out of Beasley, 23 out of Edwards, and 19 out of Russell. What does that dynamic look like with when Towns returns? Do the Wolves still start Edwards at the 3 when Towns returns, or do they, or you know, effectively, Okogie started at the 4 in this game, and that's the role he played offensively. Do the Wolves, you know, who goes to the bench when Towns comes back, which could be as soon as this week? We haven't really gotten an update yet, but that could be this week. What does this rotation look like at that point? But at any rate, I thought the Beasley and Edwards pairing was really interesting. Also, the Wolves are in a tough spot with no Naz Reid and no Karl Anthony Towns and no Juancho Hernan Gomez. You're talking about one true natural center in Ed Davis, and really only two big men in Davis and Vanderbilt. Jaden McDaniels is a power forward, but his body is more of a three, you know, a wing for today's NBA. But between the three of those guys, you know, Ed Davis is the only one that really plays center, and he's a little bit undersized and certainly long in the tooth. And so playing a team with Drummond and Nance and Jared Allen, that's a tough go for Ryan Saunders and his coaching staff to figure that out. And Vanderbilt predictably had the worst plus minus on the team for the Wolves, a minus 11 in the game, in a game that the Wolves won by 5, but he still had 7 points and 8 rebounds, a steal and a block, played fairly well. It's just, he had no chance of slowing down the Cavs big men, you know, who are all really, I mean, well, Allen and Drummond are true centers who can play with their back to the basket, who can both, who are both bigger and as athletic as Jared Vanderbilt and can play in the pick and roll, can do all different kinds of things. And Vanderbilt was just not put in a place to succeed. And that's not really his fault. It's not really Saunders' fault either. But just, I guess a note that the Wolves just don't have that big man depth. And I understand that the Wolves are married to playing five out, which is why their, you know, their centers are Naz Reid and Karl-Anthony Towns, who can both shoot threes. But just there's no front court depth for this team. And this was a game where it could have come back to bite them. Ultimately, it didn't. But on the second night of a back-to-back against a physical team like the Cavs tomorrow night, tonight on Monday, that's going to be challenging, I think. That'll be something to look out for. And then the last kind of overall observation is Ricky Rubio and Jalen Noel off the bench is a really fun pairing. They can both obviously handle the ball. Noel got the chance to handle the ball in the pick and roll, initiate some offense in this game. And he only shot 1 of 6 beyond the arc, which is harkening back to last year when I think he went 2 of 15 or 1 of 15 at the NBA level from beyond the arc. And it was just, you know, had to have been bad luck more than anything. I mean, this is a guy who shot 44% in his Pac-12 Player of the Year season at Washington and 44% in the G League last year for the Iowa Wolves in 20 plus games. Inside the arc in this game, he was 5 of 7. 1 of 6 outside the arc. So Noel was getting the chance to initiate offense, which meant he got some mid-range jumpers up, he got some floaters up, he got to the rim, and was effective on offense, had 13 points, an assist, and a steal. I think the opportunity, you know, playing Rubio and Noel together in the backcourt with the second unit, allowing Noel to take over offensively, Rubio basically running fast breaks, Rubio getting out in transition, but Noel operating a little bit in the half court makes a ton of sense. It's going to increase Noel's confidence. I think, especially with Rubio struggling as he has the past few weeks, it's going to make the overall bench unit better. They're going to be more successful if you have a more dynamic player like Noel running the offense. And, you know, Rubio can still be your guy kind of quarterbacking things in transition. And they're out there with three long athletic players in McDaniels, Vanderbilt, and Jake Lehman. Jake Lehman had his best game of the season. He had 8 points. I think they were all in the second quarter. 4 of 7 shooting. He missed a couple of threes, but he had at least 2 dunks, a couple of layups. And we already talked about Vanderbilt. McDaniels is very good, especially defensively. He had 3 blocks in 20 minutes, only attempted 3 shots, but was solid. So if you have Rubio and Noel running with 3 athletic players in Vanderbilt, McDaniels, and Lehman, 3 of those 5 can shoot threes. I mean, McDaniels, Lehman, and Noel are all going to be average or above average 3-point shooters. That's a pretty solid second unit. And I understand we're talking about a 1-game sample here, but there's at least some intrigue there. Noel could be your kind of 6-man third wing kind of player who can come in, hopefully shoot above average from deep, and also handle the ball a little bit if he's asked to. So keep an eye on Noel moving forward. I think he's got to stick in the rotation, certainly in the near term. Certainly with Jarrett Culver out for the next few games, I think he will. But he could be a guy who's pushing for a more permanent role in the rotation here moving forward. If he can show something defensively, he competed in this game. And that was the most impressive thing about the second unit was they competed hard defensively. And if Noel can compete defensively, and he's a little undersized, but if he can show the ability to hold his own on defense, he could start to chip away at Okogie's minutes and then ultimately Culver's once Culver comes back as well. All right, next what I want to do is I want to talk studs and duds from this game. Pretty easy to figure out studs. I guess harder to choose who I would pick as a dud in this game, honestly. I mean, the Wolves as a whole played fairly well. So I want to try and do that here coming up next. First, though, let's talk about betonline.ag. Of course, the Super Bowl is next Sunday. We're only 6 days away from the Super Bowl. There's plenty to talk about, plenty to bet on for the Super Bowl. Betonline.ag has tons of fun Super Bowl props up right now. They've got first half props. They've got first quarter props. They've got national anthem props, commercial break props. You name it, they've got it. And they're releasing new props every single day. Be sure to check that out. Also, of course, we are in the middle of conference play in college basketball and the middle of the NBA season, the start of the NHL season. There's tons of stuff to bet on. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we here at Locked On trust, and that's betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag. Use the promo code LOCKEDON for your 50% welcome bonus. Don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on the action. Again, the promo code is LOCKEDON. You'll get a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Also, let's talk about our title sponsor, for today's show. And that, of course, is Built Bar, which is the best tasting protein bar of all time. Just placed another order. Actually, I ordered a couple of boxes over the weekend that are going to be here midweek, and I can't wait. The new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever. If you've had it before, you need to have it again. They've improved the formula, brand new packaging, brand new logo, 6 brand new flavors. The brand new flavors, of course, are caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, which I think is my new favorite, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. It is fantastic. I've been eating them for an afternoon snack, a commute snack, if you will. Every single Built Bar is covered in 100% chocolate, soft and easy to chew. They're perfect if you're health conscious, if you're trying to lose weight or maintain weight while still indulging in a delicious treat. It's like eating a candy bar, but it's good for you. Every single Built Bar is low calorie, low in sugar, high in protein and high in fiber. Perfect if you're on a keto diet. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get 20% off your next order. That's promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. All right, let's go ahead and get right back into talking studs and duds. First, though, on the Rejecting the Screen podcast feed right now, hosts Adam Stanko and Noah Kozlov are honoring Kobe Bryant's life and career with a 2-part special podcast event. Hear stories that you haven't heard anywhere else about Kobe from teammates, opponents, coaches, and journalists. Get both parts by subscribing to the Rejecting the Screen podcast feed immediately following listening to this podcast. All right, let's talk about studs and duds. Pretty easy for this game, actually. At least in the studs column. Number one is Anthony Edwards. I rattled off his line earlier, but again, 23 points on 15 shots, 9 of 15 shooting, 4 of 7 from outside the arc, 1 of 1 at the free throw line, 5 rebounds, 4 assists, a steal and a block, 0 turnovers in 30 minutes to those 4 assists. And he handled the ball a fair amount, as he has been. But even with the first unit, he had the opportunity, and he stayed on the court and played some minutes with some of the bench guys. Of his 7 3-point shots, I need to go back and watch them. I'm recording this pretty much right after watching the game. But as I was, you know, taking notes during the game, it seemed like at least 3 of the 4 of his threes were literally, he was taking a pass, he was receiving a pass and then stepped into a three, got great arc on it, and you could just tell it was going to go in. At least 2 of his 3 misses were the types of possessions where he's got the ball, he's kind of pounding the air out of the ball, and you know he's going to do, he's not going to rotate the ball around the perimeter, right? He's going to attack, he's going to shoot a three, and you don't know. And then all of a sudden he kind of just launches a semi flat footed three, and more often than not, it misses and it doesn't have the proper arc. And that's, we've seen a lot more of that recently from Edwards over the past few weeks than we did, you know, say in preseason, he was shooting at a really high rate from deep. But in this game, when he shot the ball in rhythm on the catch, he was really good. And of course, if he shoots 4 of 7 every night, everybody would take that. Any team would take that from anyone, right? If he shoots 50% from three or better. But it's the shot selection still. And I'm not trying to nitpick, because again, he's 19 and this was his best game of the season. But this is really just to say that that's how much potential there is here. And when he's shooting in rhythm, he can actually be a good shooter. And that's part of what was unfair about the analysis of him coming out of Georgia, was when he was the only player on that team that had any hope of playing in the NBA, he was expected to do things like shoot flat-footed threes from 30 feet, right? I mean, this was a below 500 college team, and he was supposed to be the number one pick in the draft. Of course, he's going to force things. To make an NFL comparison, a super crude comparison, Josh Allen in Wyoming, took him a minute to be really good in the NFL with the Bills. He was asked to do a lot of things at Wyoming because there was no talent around him. It's a little bit of that same effect with Anthony Edwards at Georgia. If he can figure out the shot selection thing and shoot more in rhythm threes, he could actually be a good 3-point shooter on top of being really good in the paint, knowing when to attack, being just a freight train in the open court. But this was a really good game from Anthony Edwards and exactly what the Wolves need to see moving forward. And I would imagine he sticks in the starting lineup for the time being after a game like this. Also with 23 points, another starter, Malik Beasley, 23 points on 9 of 17 shooting, 5 of 11 on threes, missed both of his free throw attempts. One was after a technical and the other was on an and one, had 3 rebounds, 2 assists and a steal, just the 1 turnover. So combined, Beasley and Edwards had 46 points. They made 9 threes on 18 attempts. So they shot 50% from 3 combined. and only one turnover to 6 assists and 8 rebounds combined. You'd like to see a little more in the rebound column. You'd like to see a little more in the assist column. But the combined one turnover and the 9 of 18 shooting on threes, outstanding. Just really, really good. The third stud for me in this game is actually a little bit tougher to figure out. I mean, you could argue D'Angelo Russell, who's the third leading scorer, had 19 and 5, only 2 turnovers, made 5 of 10 threes. He was really big. I didn't really mention this earlier, but kind of that middle point of the fourth quarter when the Wolves were trying to pull away, they were up by a possession and pushed it to 10 really quickly. A lot of that was D'Lo. He had a couple of bad possessions in the final couple of minutes where he missed back-to-back possessions. He missed contested mid-range jumpers. Wasn't great, but he was a big part of the Wolves building that fourth quarter lead. Still, I'm going to give the third stud in this game to Jalen Noel off the bench. Had 13 points on 13 shots, which I know isn't ultra efficient. 1 of 6 beyond the arc, but he was 5 of 7 inside the arc and was a really big part of the Wolves staying close in the second quarter. He does hunt his own shot quite a bit, but he's an efficient enough shooter. I truly believe he'll be a good 3-point shooter at the NBA level, but he's good enough in the mid range, at the paint, in the paint, at the rim, his floater game, all that stuff is solid. And the Wolves weren't getting much from anyone else offensively consistently early in the game, outside of, you know, some flashes from Beasley. Edwards was solid in the first half, but he was mostly third quarter. Second quarter, Jalen Noel was a big part of the Wolves staying close and only being down by 6 points at halftime. So he gets the third stud. It's hard for me to single out an individual dud in this game. I mean, Okogie shot 0 for 6 and had just 5 points in 23 minutes. The 0 for 6 is really ugly. But he had a couple of big defensive plays. He had a steal from Andre Drummond. He just ripped the ball away from him late in the game. There was another really strong defensive play he had down the stretch. So, you know, there were some redeeming things there. Vanderbilt was a minus 11 and had 3 turnovers in 25 minutes. But he was put in a tough spot, had 8 rebounds when nobody else on the team had more than 5. So I'm not going to single anyone out as a dud in this game. I thought all the way around, this was the best game Ricky Rubio has played in a couple weeks. He had 8 points, 8 assists, only 1 turnover in 20 minutes. And that turnover was a weird travel and transition when Jake Lehman kind of got in his way and the Wolves just had bad spacing trying to get out on the break. So it wasn't even really his fault. Shot 2 of 4, made 4 free throws. So no real duds in this game for the Timberwolves. They did, I mentioned the first half rebounding disparity. The Wolves were out rebounded in this game 55 to 34. And at halftime, they were being out rebounded. 30 to 11, I think is what it was, or 30 to 12, 30 to 13 in the first half. I guess that's a collective team dud. And again, nobody besides Vanderbilt had more than 5 rebounds. Vanderbilt had 8. Ed Davis and Anthony Edwards each had 5. So it's tough to, like, I don't know what the answer is. I mean, you've got only one center on the roster, and it's not like Jaden McDaniels is a great rebounder at this stage in his career. They played a lot of small ball lineups. They played some 2-point guard lineups. They started Josh Cook at the 4, for crying out loud. So the Wolves knew they were going to have a tough time on the glass in this one. It's just been a season-long theme where they're one of the league's worst defensive rebounding teams. And eventually, it's definitely hurt them quite a bit to this point. In this particular game, it didn't kill them. But that's something that, again, I said this before, but the Wolves play the Cavs again in 24 hours, less than 24 hours from when I'm recording this. And tired, you know, traveling back to Cleveland, they're going to be at home. Trying to rebound against Andre Drummond on the second half of back-to-back is going to be really difficult. And the Cavs are one of the league's best offensive rebounding teams. And I should point out, I mean, the Cavs and Wolves are actually pretty similar in terms of defensive rebounding. Neither of them have been very good this year. But the difference here is that the Wolves don't have Towns. They don't have Naz Reid. They don't have even Hernan Gomez, who's a very average rebounder for his position. So the Cavs have bad rebounding guards. I mean, they just, Sexton doesn't really rebound. Okoro's been a disappointment on the glass to this point. Their guards, just Darius Garland, their guards don't rebound enough. And that's been one of their biggest issues. The Wolves actually have pretty solid rebounding guards, and D'Angelo Russell, Malik Beasley's been really good this year. Ricky Rubio is a good rebounding guard. But when you're talking about a team with basically no centers, you know, just Ed Davis going up against Drummond, it becomes more of a concern. So I recognize that both teams are in the bottom, like, 5 in the league in rebounds per game and rebound rate defensive rebounds, I should say. It's more of a challenge when you don't have any big men to check Andre Drummond and Jarrett Allen. and Larry Nance and guys like that on the glass. So that'll be another key on for Monday's game is can the Wolves keep Drummond, especially off the offensive glass? And that remains to be seen. They did enough in other areas of the game to win on Sunday, but Monday could be a different story. All right. So Tuesday show, of course, we'll talk about the Monday game between the Wolves and Cavs and, you know, studs and duds and everything we did today regarding Monday's game. Taking a quick peek ahead at the week. We don't know anything about Towns' availability. We know Culver won't be around the rest of the week, won't be available. We don't know about Hernan Gomez as well. So the Wolves are in Cleveland on Monday, in San Antonio Wednesday, and then at Oklahoma City for a back-to-back, both games in OKC on Friday and Saturday. So a busy week ahead, a total of 5 games in 7 days. Of course, we're here with you Monday through Friday. So we'll be back on Tuesday talking all things Monday's game against the Cavs, and then every other day this week. Stay tuned for some additional crossover episodes as we've done over the past couple of weeks with Locked On Warriors and Locked On Grizzlies as we get closer to some more home and home and 2-game series against some different opponents. So pay attention for those upcoming as well. All right, that's all we have for today here at Locked On Wolves. Thanks once again for listening to the Locked On Wolves podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Remember, the Locked On Network is your local experts on the biggest stories. You can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, wherever you get your podcasts. Also follow us on Twitter at Locked On T-Wolves. That's at Locked On T-Wolves. Don't forget the T. If you enjoy the podcast, please help us out with a review on Apple, on iTunes. That definitely helps us get in front of more folks. Also, a final reminder that today's episode is brought to you by Built Bar. Go to BuiltBar.com. Use promo code Locked On. You'll get 20% off your next order. Once again, I'm Ben Beacon. This is the Locked On Wolves podcast, and we'll catch you next time.